During the long lull between the First and Second Arab Wars, the Khazars became involved in one of the more lurid episodes of Byzantine history, characteristic of the times and of the role the Khazars played in it. In AD 685, Justinian II Rhinotmatus became East Roman Emperor at the age of 16. Gibbon, in his inimitable way, has drawn the youth's portrait. Quote, "His passions were strong, his understanding was feeble, and he was intoxicated with a foolish pride. His favorite ministers were two beings the least susceptible of human sympathy, a eunuch and a monk. The former corrected the emperor's mother with a scourge, the latter suspended the insolvent tributaries, with their heads downwards, over a slow and smoky fire." End quote. After 10 years of intolerable misrule, there was a revolution, and the new emperor, Leontius, ordered Justinian's mutilation and banishment. Quote, "The amputation of his nose, perhaps of his tongue, was imperfectly performed. The happy flexibility of the Greek language could impose the name of Rhinotmatus, cut-off nose, and the mutilated tyrant was banished to Chersonae in Crim Tartary, a lonely settlement where corn, wine, and oil were imported as foreign luxuries." End quote. During his exile in Kherson, Justinian kept plotting to regain his throne. After 3 years, he saw his chances improving when, back in Byzantium, Leontius was dethroned and also had his nose cut off. Justinian escaped from Kherson into the Khazar-ruled town of Doros in the Crimea and had a meeting with the Khan of the Khazars, King Busir, or Bazir. The Khan must have welcomed the opportunity of putting his fingers into the rich pie of Byzantine dynastic policies, for he formed an alliance with Justinian and gave him his sister in marriage. This sister, who was baptized by the name of Theodora, and later duly crowned, seems to have been the only decent person in this series of sordid intrigues, and to bear genuine love for her noseless husband, who was still only in his early 30s. The couple and their band of followers were now moved to the town of Phanagoria, the present Taman, on the eastern shore of the Strait of Kerch, which had a Khazar governor. Here they made preparations for the invasion of Byzantium, with the aid of the Khazar armies which King Buzir had apparently promised. But the envoys of the new emperor, Tiberius III, persuaded Buzir to change his mind by offering him a rich reward in gold if he delivered Justinian, dead or alive, to the Byzantines. King Buzir accordingly gave orders to two of his henchmen, named Papatzes and Balgatres, to assassinate his brother-in-law. But faithful Theodora got wind of the plot and warned her husband. Justinian invited Papatzes and Balgatres separately to his quarters and strangled each in turn with a cord. Then he took ship, sailed across the Black Sea into the Danube estuary, and made a new alliance with a powerful Bulgar tribe. Their king, Turbulus, proved for the time being more reliable than the Khazar Khan, for in 704, he provided Justinian with 15,000 horsemen to attack Constantinople. The Byzantines had, after 10 years, either forgotten the darker sides of Justinian's former rule, or else found their present ruler even more intolerable, for they promptly rose against Tiberius and reinstated Justinian on the throne. The Bulgar king was rewarded with a heap of gold coins which he measured with his Scythian whip, and went home, only to get involved in a new war against Byzantium a few years later. Justinian's second reign from 704 to 711 proved even worse than the first. Quote, "He considered the axe, the cord, and the rack as the only instruments of royalty." End quote. He became mentally unbalanced, obsessed with hatred against the inhabitants of Kherson, where he had spent most of the bitter years of his exile, and sent an expedition against the town. Some of Kherson's leading citizens were burnt alive, others drowned, and many prisoners taken. But this was not enough to assuage Justinian's lust for revenge, for he sent a second expedition with orders to raze the city to the ground. However, this time his troops were halted by a mighty Khazar army, whereupon Justinian's representative in the Crimea, a certain Bardanes, changed sides and joined the Khazars. The demoralized Byzantine expeditionary force abjured its allegiance to Justinian and elected Bardanes as emperor under the name of Philippicus. But since Philippicus was in Khazar hands, the insurgents had to pay a heavy ransom to the Khan to get their new emperor back. When the expeditionary force returned to Constantinople, Justinian and his son were assassinated, and Philippicus, greeted as a liberator, was installed on the throne, only to be deposed and blinded a couple of years later. The point of this gory tale is to show the influence which the Khazars at this stage exercised over the destinies of the East Roman Empire, in addition to their role as defenders of the Caucasian bulwark against the Muslims. Bardanes Philippicus was an emperor of the Khazars' making, and the end of Justinian's reign of terror was brought about by his brother-in-law, the Khan. To quote Dunlop, "It does not seem an exaggeration to say that at this juncture, the Khan was able practically to give a new ruler to the Greek Empire."